listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, and I always start the shows with a little plug for any financial assistance can be given to the stations. I know they much would appreciate that. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, a lot of hours put in that people don't ask to be compensated for, but if you can share a few bucks, I know they would much, much appreciate it. Today, of course, I've got back. I told him I wouldn't call him the Energizer Bunny today, so I have back with me for the next hour the Duracell Bunny today, because he's running on Duracell today, is Roger Landry. And anybody that's listened to my shows over the years knows that Roger's a pretty regular on my show. I've had the pleasure of knowing this man for about 7 years of my life, and just love what he has to bring to the table. I thank Roger for joining me today, and I think we're going to get into a little bit of the chaos, to say an understatement of what's going on in your great country now. Roger, welcome to the show, buddy. I didn't call you the Energizer Bunny, and you will give me 1 minute to talk during the next hour.
No. You missed the point. When we were discussing that prior to the show, I said you would mention it. I didn't say you would call me it. I said you would mention it. Okay. You did. Not only that, but in multiple iterations.
Well, I don't know what else to call you at this point in history, buddy, so it seems to be a suiting title for you. But, yeah, I love it.
Okay.
Let's get into this.
There's been a lot of other titles, but you've asked me not to swear on your show. So, all right, look, if we just stop and consider for a second, what most people don't do because they're so busy looking at the curtains behind the curtains that Toto has just pulled back, what most people fail to do is to step back and look and see what's actually going on. What's going on to the left of you? What's going on to the right of you? What's going on above you, below you, and behind you? Most people only see what's going on in front of them, and that is intentional. This is called programmed ignorance. This is a factor in every nation on the planet. It's just more pronounced in some nations than others. This is what we're suffering from here because, as you and I have discussed, COVID-19 is a freaking lie. It's the biggest lie ever told in modern history. It has affected the entire planet, a global economy, a global society. It is literally causing death as a result of the mechanisms being used supposedly to fight a disease that has less killing power than last year's flu did. Mm-hmm. But yet, a vast majority of the free world, including the United States of America, tucked themselves away very, very quickly into their homes with their tails between their legs because the government said, if you don't, you're going to die. And they did. And when they got tired of it, they started to complain a little bit. It was time for Toto to pull back another curtain. He did. And what was that? Okay, well, you can come out now, but you have to wear your leash. You have to wear your mask. Which it has been proven over and over and over again does more damage to your body and does not prevent the massive spread of the disease as we're being told. This has been debunked over and over again, but now there is, there are politicians in California that are saying, if you don't wear a mask in my city, you're going to be accused of domestic terrorism. Yeah, let that sink in and do a search on Google or search on Bing. You'll find it. It's there because the story is published on the Liberty Beacon. What we're looking at today is the self-destruction of what was the most progressive, the most powerful, the most economically sound nation on the planet is eating itself alive for a lie. But 10 years ago when I first met you, Barry, or about 8 years ago, one of the first things we talked about was eventually the globalists would take over the planet. They would find a way to take over the planet and enslave all of humanity who would be beholden to them for any standard of living that could be afforded to them. Mm-hmm. Take a look around you. What the hell do you see?
Roger, I actually went back and listened to some of our shows about 7 years ago. And what you just said is true. We kind of talked then about they were going to use two or three mechanisms to bring society to their knees. We talked about a monetary collapse, which is part and parcel to what's going on right now. But we also talked about the release of a worldwide pandemic. And boy, this pandemic doesn't even get close to the definition of a pandemic. I looked in this real quick, Roger. There's five different levels of pandemic that hit society. And my understanding is the number one level, the lowest level possible in society, for something to be actually classified as a pandemic, it has to affect 1.5% of the population. It gets to a number one level when it hits 7 or 8% of the population, which is a full-blown pandemic, and we have never even gotten close to a quarter of those numbers in Canada. Yet they use the word pandemic because it strikes fear instantly into people's hearts. Go ahead. What a great word to use, buddy. Pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. I'm sick of hearing it. It's not a pandemic, it's a flu. Go ahead.
If you stop to consider that the CDC had to admit that of the 260 or 270,000, whatever they're choosing to lie about today, people in the United States that have died from COVID-19, that was a big mistake. It was actually a misrepresentation. See, the total number of 270,000 or close to is the number of people who have died with COVID-19. The number of people who have actually died from, listen to me, not with, from COVID-19 is less than 20,000. Last year, the flu in the United States alone, by the CDC's own reckoning, killed over 86,000 people. That was a lie. The reason the CDC said it was only 86,000 is because they own patents for flu vaccines. Obviously, they didn't work very well. So they lowballed the number. The actual number is about 125,000 people died, or about half of the people that have supposedly died from this. So let's go with the real number. The real number is about 25,000, and I'm giving that a little, died from, not with, from COVID-19, and most of them were aged individuals with two or three other diseases that any flu would have been a trigger for. So we are looking at a huge lie. I have said over and over again, and I've said it on your show and every show I've done for the last 6 months, this is not and never has been about a virus. That's the window dressing. That's what the hell's behind the curtain that Toto pulls back. There is no massive killer virus going around the planet. And how can I say that, being basically a layman to the medical world? All right, I would ask anybody out there to show me any proof, because even the government says they don't have it, any proof whatsoever that the virus causing this massive global deadly pandemic has ever been isolated in a laboratory. It hasn't. How the hell do you make a vaccine for something you've never isolated in a laboratory? Are you starting to catch on, people? You're all being used as idiots because they programmed you that way for the last 50 years.
Well, Roger, the CDC came out and said that. The Health Canada has actually stated they have not been able to isolate the virus.
I put that,
one of the things that I find, Roger, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people, is that when we approach people, we have to approach them on a level of common sense. So a common sense approach to people.
Wait a minute, what's that?
This is something that even somebody that is completely brain dead, that been programmed all their life, has to ask themselves a question, is that if they have not, and this is right from government, they have not been able to isolate this virus ever, then what are we creating a vaccine for? Period. Yeah. And it gets them thinking, Roger, it really does. Go ahead.
Well, let's click down a few more. And yes, we will get to the politics in America, but there's a few other things that people need to understand, and we're already on this topic. Let's go to the topic of masks. Because that may seem to be something rather inconsequential to most people. Why are we talking about that? So you got to put a freaking mask on. Put a mask on, okay, and shut up. Let me explain to everybody out there that surgical masks were never, ever intended to be worn for more than a couple of hours at a shot. And even in, and there is peer-reviewed research done on this, even in an isolated operating room, they're not very effective. They're not, unless you get a perfect seal to the face. And if you have any type of whiskers or a beard or a mustache, it's never going to seal. So these things don't work. Now, I started this off by saying something. I'm wondering how many of you caught on to that. I said, and then after we had all run whimpering into our homes and locked ourselves down, we finally started to get a little pissed about this. So we started complaining. And they said, whoa, you can come out of your house, but you have to wear your leash. I mean, your mask.
Yeah.
Well, anybody? That was not, what's that?
I said it's insane, but go ahead. I got some thoughts.
That's exactly what it is. That's what your mask is. It's a leash. When you go into Walmart, they're going to browbeat the hell out of you. And here, for a while where I live, you couldn't even get in if you didn't have a mask on. Apparently, there were some people who actually did a little research and found out that the governor, which actually doesn't have the right anyway, but the governor had not mandated masks. They were basically voluntary, but they were recommended. So even Walmart had to let you in, but they browbeat the hell out of you. Now, let's take that to the second level. First off, if you don't want to wear a mask and they tell you to leave a store because they don't know, they're not allowed to ask whether or not you have a medical condition that warrants that, that's a $75,000 fine. How many people know that? That's real. That's actually real. How many people are actually going to use that, or are they going to be too afraid to? That's a mechanism designed for you people. It is. So now we've got the masks, okay? These are literally a conditioning tool, and they are working really good. Mm-hmm. Because, again, now you've got a mayor out there in California saying, if you're in my city and you're not wearing a mask, you're a domestic terrorist. Okay. Now, we've already considered the fact that this thing doesn't have the knockdown power of last year's flu. We've already considered the fact that a vast majority of, meaning 80 to 90% of what they're calling COVID-19 deaths, are in fact people who died with COVID-19. Now, let me ask you a question. If they've never isolated the virus, how did they even know they died with COVID-19? But the ones that died of COVID-19, even the CDC had to state, when they stated this, which was about a month ago, that less than 10,000 had actually died from COVID-19.
They sure brushed that story down quick, didn't they?
How about these doctors all over the planet who are stepping up to say, this is a lie, this is bull crap, there is no second wave, you need to listen. Look at the reaction. The governments are stepping on them in the UK, doing everything they can to shut them up as soon as possible. Anybody who believes that this isn't a global concerted effort of the upper tier that run planet Earth. This is the group we call the elites. And every country on this planet is being affected by this. They had a drill 4 years ago. They've been talking about this since 2004. This has been in the plans, and we have been talking about it, and we've been called nuts and conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat wearers, and you know what? I should really feel good today. I should be looking at everybody out there and going, I tried to freaking tell you, you bunch of morons, but that's not going to help anybody. So what do we do? People like Barry and I, who have been talking about this for almost a decade, we continue to talk about it. We continue to educate you. And now I've seen the traffic on the Liberty Beacon websites, and we've got a half a dozen of them all over the planet. The app traffic's up by 300%. All of a sudden, we're not such crazies. We're not wearing tinfoil hats, because what we tried to tell you 5 and 6 years ago is knocking at your door today.
Here yes, it is, Roger. Yes, it is. And we don't like to say we like to be vindicated, but a lot of people now that, you know, called me a nutcase years ago aren't calling me a nutcase so much anymore. That I do see a very, very fast awakening in the Canadian public. Really up against it up here right now, buddy. What Krista Freeland just came out. I don't know if I've sent you that video yet, but she just came out and told the Canadian people it'd be a great idea that if we took money from the rich and kind of offset some of the businesses that are suffering in Canada, like the tourism, and in her beautiful little face with her heart pouring out to the Canadian people. I mean, that was a stage one of a conditioning. The Canadian government actually has legislation in place in Canada, Roger, where they can seize any bank account and all bank accounts in Canada under a declared financial emergency, which they could do very easy right now with any kind of collapse going on. So kiss your money goodbye, get it out of the banks, guys. What, are they going to create a bank run now? This came right out of Krista Freeland's mouth, Roger. Just absolutely damning. Along with, of course, Trudeau's talk on the Great Reset. Go read the Great Reset with Klaus Schwab, guys. Go read that book, because I've got halfway through it now, and it's unbelievable. Paragraph for paragraph. What's going on, Roger? Go ahead.
Look, if you need to consider, nice little rant there, Barry. If you need to consider, which you do, okay, what I've been talking about has been a non-existent virus. What I've been talking about, or one that exists but is basically akin to your yearly flu, and it doesn't even do real good at that. But why then? Why go through so much? Why sell it to the media? Actually, they own the media. Why have the media scaring us all across the planet? Why be destroying one economy after another if we know for a fact, and oh, by the way, where there's supposedly a second wave, 90% less beds filled than what you're being told. Yeah, 90% of those beds are empty. What we are looking at is what Barry just talked about, the great global reset. We are looking at a monetary reset that was absolutely inevitable. It had to happen. It almost happened in 2008, and they had to print between $23 and $30 trillion from these faux banks that we call Federal Reserves just to keep things going. The reason why they didn't want it to happen in 2008 is they wouldn't have been on the top when it all was said and done. They needed to facilitate a mechanism that would allow them not only to stay on top, but to end up in a stronger position than what they started, but yet do a total global financial reset. If you go to the people of planet Earth and say, tomorrow your money's not going to be worth anything, we're going to play a new game. You know what? They're not going to like that, and they're coming after you. But if you tell the whole world you got to lock down, there's a deadly virus, and you lock them down until everything but the biggest corporations fail, you now control all of the people, all of the economy, all of the industry. Are you catching my drift? You couldn't pull the reset off as a financial anything. It wouldn't have worked. What did work? Gee, does COVID-19 sound familiar?
Yeah, just the level of cognitive dissonance in our world just blows me away, Roger. That, you know, there's no excuse for not being able to see this right now. We're supposed to be intelligent people, and there's absolutely no reason for people not to be seeing what's going on around them, yet they just refuse to see it. It scares the heck out of me because, I said, we have a level of dissonance, or maybe it is a lack of testicles in our society that scares the heck out of me. It really does. I mean, this vaccine. So I want to talk on the vaccine here in a minute, Roger. But that's what really disturbs me right now is the amount of people that are walking around with diapers on their faces.
So you're talking about testicular deficiency in a massive proportions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it is, Roger.
I know. It's not what it is. It's not what it is, and I used to think that way, and there's a lot of other people who think that way, and these are good people like you, and they work to get the truth out just like you. But why don't you try marrying this to something else I've been preaching literally for almost 10 years, and that is the eradication of programmed ignorance. We have seen a steady increase of propaganda in our schools since the end of World War II, again, done intentionally. Ignorance has been enforced upon, all of North America, just about. And why? Because now, when a young girl brings her homework home, and you've heard me say this before, Mary, and shows it to her mother, and her mother gets irate and goes to school the next day and says, why? The lesson said, did you know that a benevolent government grants you your rights? Meaning, if you aren't a good doobie, the government can take your rights away. No. See, they're unalienable and protected by the government. Each time they change one sentence, one meaning, something that basic, something rooted that deep in a society like America, that ripples through. When you go 60 years into the future and it's still happening, what do you see? You see a society that is not stupid, a society that has been programmed with ignorance. And this is what we're seeing in the Western world. It's not a bunch of stupid people. It's a bunch of people that have been programmed to be as ignorant as they possibly can. Bingo! Success! What do you and I do? We eradicate that programmed ignorance. We stick a needle in that balloon. We pop it.
Well, we ask common sense questions, Roger, and there's no common sense left in the world today. Period. None. No matter what you look at, doesn't matter what issue we talk about, there is no common sense. It's absolutely gone insane. But, you know, we talk about this lots, Roger, and we've talked about this before, that this didn't happen overnight.
No.
You know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, there was psychopaths sitting down in think tanks in a dark corner somewhere planning where society was going to go in the next 30, 40 years. They laid the programs in place. They took over all aspects of our society, and here we are today. But you said people walking around like zombies. And you're
so
right.
Why Trump?
Programmed. It is programmed. But that seems to be the biggest obstacle I run into is getting rid of that programmed ignorance, that inability to look at truth, whether it hit me over the head with a hammer, whether you watch the guy shoot a person right in front of you and you still don't believe it's a murder. You got to accept that that's a murder, and that's what we're up against. And they still call it non-murder. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you want to see how I plug Sleepy Joe Biden into this?
Yeah. Oh, a great man himself. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's talk about a guy who literally couldn't put together more than 100, maybe 200 people at the most. The average was about 40 to 50 people. In some cases, there were less than a dozen people at his rallies. When they had a car parade, there was 21 cars. The average participation in a Trump rally was, I think, 28,000, with them being as high as 48,000 and as few as 18,000. As few as 18,000. When they had a car parade for Trump, and you can Google this, there were over 3,000 cars in the general vicinity, and the local police and the sheriff's department said there could have been as many as 30,000 vehicles involved. We're talking about apples and oranges. The reason why Sleepy Joe was never allowed out of his basement during 90% of the actual campaigning was they knew what the disaster would be, but they also knew that they had it fixed. Because if you listen to Eric Coomer, who worked for Dominion, way up there, you know, director of security, and he's on a conference call with Antifa members. Listen to what I'm about to say. This guy works for Dominion voting machines. At the time, he was in charge of their security of the voting machines. He's talking to Antifa on a conference call, and I'm going to paraphrase because it's not in front of me and I won't use the bad word. He says, Trump win? Don't worry about Trump winning. I made sure that ain't going to blanking happen. This is what he told everybody. That is the most incriminating sentence on the planet. We also see videos of once they kick out all the poll watchers and the vote counters because they say they're shutting the vote down for the evening. Then you see on this video these women pulling these ballot boxes, a bunch of them, out from underneath a desk. And the estimate is it's anywhere from 28 to 35,000 votes. And they proceed to put them in. Now, they're patting themselves on the back for having done something really smart and getting away with sticking at least 35,000 votes into the machine, and nobody's any of the smarter, except nobody remembered to turn the camera off up in the corner.
Oops.
And the whole thing was recorded. Oops. Now, we've got Attorney General Barr, who I used to have some respect for, chubby little Barr, steps up there and says, you know what? I don't see any proof of widespread vote fraud in this country. I wrote an article which absolutely pointed out beyond a shadow of a doubt there's 14 states right now where there are issues pending. There's 8 states right now that have lawsuits, and there's 5 states right now that are looking really, really, really bad for the Dems. Mm-hmm. So if there's no proof of widespread vote fraud, Mr. Attorney General, what's going on in these states? Because he's supposed to have Trump's back. He's Trump's attorney general. Do you know how deep the deep state goes now? His attorney general is saying to the public, I don't see any proof of widespread vote fraud, except I could name off at least a dozen states that have already reported it, and at least 9 states that are already in investigations. And this morning it was announced, breaking news, the government has permitted the Trump experts to go in and do forensic research on 22 Dominion voting machines. That's a huge win.
I saw that this morning.
Yep, and that's published on TLB. Yep. But all of this is focused around why are we doing this? Most of you don't understand that this was almost as bad in 2016. It just never amounted to quite enough to beat Trump. But this time they figured they would have all of their metrics in place. What most of you don't understand is that in 2018, Trump, having seen what went on in 2016 and fearing what would go on in 2020, made an executive order stating that anybody or any company, it could be proved, took part in, you know, this type of illegal function, would lose all of their assets. Done. Okay. All right. So why did he do that? Anybody who thinks he wasn't ready for this, yeah, he was ready for it. The problem we're having here is the magnitude of this issue. We're talking about thousands of people that have to be involved in this. And we're talking about thousands of people coming forward to say what they saw that was wrong. So there's no doubt this is going to crash and burn on the Dems. There's no doubt about that. The question is, can they get him into office first? And why does that make so much difference? Y'all need to listen, because this gets very serious right now. If he is permitted to get in, which I'm still thinking he's not going to be, and even the Supreme Court may be necessary, but I do think there's a very good chance Trump's going to stay in office. But if he does get into office, what do you see happening, Barry?
Oh, hell. Period. I don't know how to explain it. That's what I would say.
I would tell you that right now, Trump, all of the things we discussed, the Great Reset, the whole nine yards, Trump has his own ideas. Trump has a way, has already said he can take us off the Federal Reserve System and use the U.S. resources, our coal, our iron ore, our how many of you people know that below the Southern Rockies is 3.5 to 5 trillion barrels of oil? Most of it's locked up in shale, but we're talking 3.5 to 5 trillion barrels. We have more oil in that part of the United States than the entire Middle East combined. That's how much oil is in the United States. It's just always been cheaper to get it somewhere else, but not anymore. So now Trump saying, you know, if I need to, I'll dump the Federal Reserve and we will have a dollar based on what it should be based on. Oops. Can I ask everybody another question? All right. President Kennedy was pop. He was killed. Why? Because he wanted to spoil the Federal Reserve's fun. That's it. Well, let me see. Trump wants to spoil the Federal Reserve's fund. Trump is already getting us out of wars, absolutely trashing the military-industrial complex's fund. And he's also, I don't know, bragged about hydroxychloroquine instead of vaccines, which gave the biggest corporate cabal on the planet a swift kick, and that would be the big pharma. So now Trump has not only kicked the Fed in the gut, he's kicked the Fed, he's kicked Big Pharma, he's kicked the military-industrial complex. Are you catching my drift? Why is he still alive? That totally amazes me. But maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. I personally think that they want Biden in so bad because the dystopia I was talking about before we got into this part of the conversation is exactly what Joe Biden will help them to get us into. Trump will do just the opposite. And he's been doing it for 4 years. They don't like him. They don't want him in there. Why don't they like him and why don't they want him in there? He's a billionaire. Isn't he one of their peeps? You got to remember, Rothschild bailed him out twice. Rothschild. Yeah, not a joke. But why? Why are they pushing back so hard against Trump? I'm going to tell you why. This guy, and I do like Trump. I've learned to like him. I didn't at first because he's a loudmouth. He's an egotist. He's got an ego bigger than the Matterhorn. But that's exactly what we need him to have right now in the spot he's in. Because if this guy was a coward, this country would have folded 6 months ago. The fact that this guy has a huge ego, you know what's feeding his ego? I'm going to tell you. If I get taken out or I die, because he's in his early 70s, I want to be able to understand that I did such good things for my country that I'm going to be talked about for the next 1,000 years. That's what Trump wants. And you know what? If feeding his ego is going to keep us safe or keep us less in trouble, I'm going to sit at the table with a shovel and keep his dish full.
Roger, let's talk about the COVID-19 vaccine for a few minutes, because I know you've been looking into it and some of the dangers. I also want to talk about the Great Barrington Declaration. You're aware of that, of course.
Yeah, but again,
can we speak on that for a minute?
Well,
any knowledge you have on it?
I don't really have a lot. I've read through it once. And the thing of it is, it's a wish list, basically, is what it is. All of these thoughts are thoughts that they had brought together from people who have a good mind and a decent understanding. Okay? That's what it is. It's a wish list. And I'm not telling anybody don't go and read it. But when you're looking for solutions to problems, nobody's going to go there for solutions. They're going to go there for a warm feeling and an understanding. But the solutions are going to come by unmasking or pulling back those curtains that you and I are constantly talking about. Because what's available to everybody, especially in the Barrington Declaration, what's available to everybody is always only at the most 90% of reality. It's the iceberg theory, and it's an absolute fact. Even your closest trusted friend has to keep something secret, always. And that's not a ploy against you. That's an absolute fact of life. If you look at the COVID-19 vaccine, you and I have already talked about that, okay? And this plays into all of this. This is what programmed ignorance is all about. The government says you need to take a vaccine because if you don't, you're a danger to everybody around you. Absolute poppycock. It's like if you go into a store and everybody's wearing a mask thinking it protects them, but you're not wearing one, so they avoid you like the plague. And when people do that, I look at them and I go, wait a minute, don't you have a mask on? Yeah. So why are you avoiding me? It doesn't make any sense. None.
Well, of course. It's not meant to make any sense.
Again, it's your leash. If you look around all of this, the COVID-19 vaccine is another training tool. But I would tend to tell you that it's more than that. The only thing is, what I really believe, I don't like to say on anybody's show, because I don't want to leave the show with everybody thinking Barry gets the craziest people on the planet on his show.
Well, people know nothing, that anyway, so go ahead.
Nothing I say is crazy. It's just your programmed ignorance. How can you filter it? How? What are you going to actually hear if I tell you there are already scientists out there saying put the brakes on this this RNA vaccine. Stop it right now. And the reason is because it will promote infertility in females. It will. They've already postulated this. And now, hold on a minute. They want to give this to 7 billion people. Let me give you a flashback. There's 7.5 billion of us, and the Georgia Guidestones say keep the total population of the Earth under 500 million in what?
Yeah. Balance with
nature. Yes. In tune with nature. So they've got to get rid of 7 billion of us. Now, I'm not saying that this vaccine is going to do that. What I am saying is, one, they tell you need to get 2 shots, okay? So if the first one may be a set me up and the second one may be, okay, there's what I needed to complete the pattern and bang, now it starts to work. When I say sterilize you, how soon will we find that out? It may be a generation before we understand the infertility perpetrated by this vaccine. It may be a generation, 20 years in the future, we're saying, how come there's hardly any kids being born? Yeah. Stop and think about that. Now, is any of this bull? No. Google it. Stop the COVID-19 vaccines. They're going to cause female sterility. This is an absolute fact. But yet, there are already places that are saying, if you want to go to church on Sunday, you need to have a vaccine card. If you want to go into the grocery store, you need to have a vaccine card. If you want to get on a plane and go somewhere, you need to have a vaccine card. Wait a minute. Anybody here read 1984? I just got done telling you this damn virus, they can't even prove it exists at all. Yet they are reformulating the entire planet and giving us all, which may eventually end up by being a mandatory vaccine. No, excuse me, 2 mandatory vaccines. And we've already got scientists screaming that this is going to sterilize females. okay, tell me which piece of this panic button I just pushed I got wrong. Which piece?
Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, Rob. Roger. It's just the tip. When we look at what they're trying to do with this, when they want to start talking about altering our DNA, I am not an expert. I know that you understand this way more than I do, but I've watched 4 or 5 doctors and real smart people talk about this, and they're coming forward in droves right now that this is beyond insanity. The way they're rushing this through, the amount of time, the studies that are being done, none of it exists. It's just being rammed down our throats. So we got to ask ourselves, why? Why are they in such a rush, folks? Because of nanotechnology, right, Roger?
The RNA vaccine. Stop thinking about this, okay? If I can, and again, it's not exactly, we're not, as laymans, allowed to know exactly how much effect this is going to have on your DNA. But it will have an effect on your DNA. It will. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you out there know what your DNA is and what it does? Well, let me explain something to you. You change my DNA, it might not do a whole lot for me because I'm already full grown. I'm already developed. Changes may cause me some minor issues, but if I go to have a baby with a woman, obviously I can't have one, or if she has had those vaccines, what we're talking about is the inability to get rid of what's happened to you. You're passing it on. Your DNA combines with your mate's DNA to give the blueprint for what's about to be born. And every single cell in their entire body is part of that or has a string of that DNA. It is you. If I change your DNA utilizing an RNA type vaccine, if I change your DNA, it may be 50 years before we realize what that change is going to do in humanity. The reason being is because not a lot of us got vaccines, or not a lot of us took specific, whether it was radio frequencies or whatever, weren't exposed to them as much. So our DNA isn't as affected. It really isn't. But all of a sudden, instead of isolated cases, now you've got 6 to 7 billion people having their DNA screwed with. Can I explain something to you? They gave up the need to do any animal testing. Let me explain to you why that was the biggest mistake that they and why it should absolutely make you fearful. If I give this type of a vaccine to a rat, how many generations is that rat going to have in 6 months? A lot. So you know through multiple generations what, if anything, that change in DNA. They did away with them. There were no animal tests. You are now, and I published an article on the Liberty Vegan about this today, you are now the guinea pig. When the next generation rolls around after 7 billion people get this damn vaccine, then we'll know how bad it is. And if you think I'm pissed for nothing, you're an idiot. Because this is the fact. This is what Barry wanted me to say.
Okay. And I appreciate that, buddy. And I know how much this drives you crazy. It drives us all crazy. It does. It does. It's beyond. It's honestly beyond anything I thought that I would see in my lifetime. But in the last couple of years, I've come to the realization that everything that you're talking about right now is a reality. You know, we've talked many, many times on shows, Roger, about nanotechnology and what they can do with that. Now, we've talked many times about the levels of toys they've got that are 15 years ahead of what we are allowed to know about today. We roll it all around in our brains. We add that to what's going on right now, and we see a huge psyop going on across this world that, unless you've gone down the rabbit holes in your life, it really is hard for people to even begin to understand what we're talking about, Roger. And that, I find, is one of the biggest problems I have, because we talk to people, but we lose them right away because they have never really in their life, outside of what listening to what maybe mainstream media is telling them every day, they really haven't explored a lot of this, and they get lost so easy when we start talking about this. They do.
You know when this all started? When all of this started. I mean, the plans to take over humanity, the whole nine yards, or enslave humanity. When do you think this all started?
Just to guess. 17th century with the Jesuits taking over the Catholic Church, maybe?
The last part of the 1600s, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And from there, we have seen a steady progression. Now, most of you don't understand because, you know, history just is something most people ignore nowadays. The history of the United States is we probably know less. Generations in this country from, say, 30 years old down probably know less about our country than anybody in any country on the planet. That's literate, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you start to consider – look, the information that all of us are getting, the information that we're supposed to know, as Barry said, because I worked for the military-industrial complex, I'm going to tell you that the technologies they have today, right now, are 10 to 15 years ahead of what we have. And some of the stuff I used when I was working for them 20 years ago, I still haven't seen. Mm. I still haven't seen some of this stuff. Mm. So how I've been telling you this has been going on for about 350 years. And we're culminating at a point right now where, and they knew this was going to be a long-term process. They absolutely knew this. Hell, they started this with the Rothschilds. Again, that name comes up. Why do I say they started this with the Rothschilds? Because what did he do? He sent one son to Great Britain to make a deal with the king, okay, that, you know, we're going to supply you with money and we'll only charge you a certain, you know, a percentage, basically a Federal Reserve. And he sent another one down south to side up on both sides with a war that was about to start. Again, it was about centralizing control with who? With the money owners, with the elitist caste, with the Rothschilds, even back in the 1700s. And if you can remember, you know, Ansel's mother saying, if my sons didn't want war or poverty, there wouldn't be any. But there is. So now we flash forward. We say this has been going on for over 300 years. Why all of a sudden is it coming to a head? It's coming to a head right now because of technology. Technology works for them in such a fashion you can't even imagine. They can spring things across the planet instantly. They can coordinate with agents, so on and so forth, across the planet. It is – the technology is a massive boon for them, and it has allowed them to literally speed up their process, to speed up their program. But technology is a two-edged sword. What about the people like me who spent 30 years working for them? Are we stupid? Do we still remember what we were taught? How many thousands come out of the military with an absolutely phenomenal technical background? Do they suddenly forget everything? So the point here is the technology right now that's being used against us would have already smitten us if we didn't have almost as good a technology and there weren't a lot more of us. We can get the word out too. And we make our own communities. And those communities are predicated on the understanding that what I know, I must teach someone else. Why? That's the only way we're going to survive. If you look right now, Joe Biden is their ticket for this to continue happening. If Trump gets back in, there's going to be a resurgence in this country of patriotism beyond anything you have ever seen.
Well, I'm going to say this, Roger. I don't see a rat's hope in hell of Joe Biden becoming president. Based on what I have seen, heard in the last week, I've listened to all the hearings. I've listened to mountains and mountains and mountains of evidence, mountains. Yeah. And for this man to be inaugurated, I would not know what to say about that in my world. I just don't see that happening. So I'm going to go with that for now. I don't want to change subject here in the show at all, but I just want you to, I don't know if you've been following.
Oh, no, go ahead. Tell.
Please. There's something I really wanted to talk about quick before I got you off, because I know you follow a lot of things going on. Yep. But the earthquake activity we're seeing right now on the West Coast, yep, especially the reports I followed, but since there's three other people that I'm listening to, and they're all talking very, very sternly about the location of these earthquakes, the fact that they're sitting over one of the largest magma pools, that even though, like, you know, Yellowstone hasn't erupted in the last 600,000, they've had eruptions in those areas in the last couple million that would make Yellowstone, they tell us, look small. And we know what the capability of Yellowstone is. So we have a large amount of earthquakes happening over top of one of these massive magma chambers, and they're all talking about it right now. I've got them scratching their heads.
How close is that to the San Andreas Fault?
Well, they're very in close proximity. But a lot of people don't realize, Roger, the size of the magma pools that are sitting under the west coast of America.
I do.
Yeah, you know about it, but a lot of people don't know that. You know, we hear about Yellowstone all the time, but the fact is that we have magma chambers going all the way down to California that make Yellowstone look small. And they're just not talked about because, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now we're seeing all this unrest, especially in Nevada. Lots of big ones. Chile just hit a 6.1 here in the last hour. And they're just kind of, I've been watching all the guys talking about it. And they're all raising their voice in great alarm right now. So I don't know what to make of it all. Just your thoughts on that real quick. And then I'll get back to what we're talking about.
You've got two huge concerns. The first one, as Barry has said, is it's sitting over a large magma pool. If that thing triggers, we're talking about something that may open up a cauldron that is literally tens of miles across. We're talking about a super volcano. We're talking about something that can actually, in the northern hemisphere of the planet, can actually cause a lot of death, a lot of plants dying, can black out a lot of daylight, so on and so forth. That's the first thing. The second thing, which I think may be actually even more of an issue, is even with a minor eruption in that cauldron, it would be enough to trigger, because San Andreas Fault, they have been saying for the last 25 years, it's ready to go. You get something like an eruption on top of that magma pool, which is in very close proximity to that fault, and what you may end up with is a disaster that runs from southern Canada all the way down through the isthmus of Mexico. And it will be the hardest hit right along the west coast. I'm talking about massive landslides, tidal waves. I'm talking about earth movement that would easily rival anything you've ever seen.
We're not saying it's going to happen, Roger. No. Just something I follow very closely. I listen to what a lot of people are saying about this right now, and seismologists are scratching their heads, is all I'm saying. We've gone through a lot of this stuff. We've heard about Yellowstone, blah, 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 blah. But we are seeing some incredible things happen right now that are very abnormal. Not saying the end of the world is here, folks. I'm just trying to bring people's attention to it so you can have a look at yourself, and we'll just see what happens. Pretty interesting time.
In Earth's time, that may just be a day or two from now. Because in Earth's time, a day or two is about 200 to 300 years.
Yes, or it could be in 1 hour in Earth's time.
Yep.
We don't know. We look at all those faults that are on the verge of snapping. We look at all the reports over the hundreds of years on seismic movements, on stuff like the Cascadia and
the Sinai Mod, and
you know, the middle of the United States, the earthquakes they had in the beginning of the 18th century. You know, if those events started happening, you would see an earthquake swarm. You would see the Earth go into an earthquake, major earthquake swarm. It's happened before. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's just I'm watching these things, and I like to watch it. It's kind of interesting. But that's not really what we need to worry about, because we don't have control over that, Roger. What we do have control over is what's happening in our world right now.
Let me wrap this up real quick.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. You only got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to talk about the situation in America, because, you know, I don't have a big ego. I don't believe Americans are better than anybody else on the planet. But I do believe that due to the social and economic ties globally, where goes America goes a big chunk of the planet. Okay. And what we're looking at right now is not an American revolution. What we're looking at right now is outside influence. These machines, they grab servers in Germany. These machines have been in Argentina. These machines have been in Cuba. These machines are made in Canada. I could go on and on and on. What we are looking at, again, is a concerted effort to control the politics on the other side of the COVID disaster. The only reason we're having a second wave and a second lockdown is because too many of us are getting too upset with what we see going on. What's the best way to neutralize us? Tell us if you don't lock yourself in your house, we're going to throw you in jail. Tell us if we don't have a mask on, we can't eat. Tell us if this is what we are seeing. COVID-19 is one of the lightest flu seasons we have had. Again, the difference of how many people died with COVID-19 and how many people died of COVID or from COVID-19 is a massive, massive number. They will never make the distinction.
Roger, I hate to cut you off, buddy, but you know what? This hour went too quick, and I know we could talk for another hour right now. So I'm going to promise to try and get you in again in a couple of weeks and carry on this conversation. That becomes a, kind of a regular thing for us now, and always great having you in. You can find Roger. His site is called The Liberty Beacon. He has websites all around the world, folks. Go look him up, listen to what he has to say, and read his articles. Great wealth of information. Great having you in, Roger, and we look forward to the next time we get to chat with you.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Barry.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And with that, guys, I am going to go take a bathroom break. I'll be back in a couple minutes with Pat King, who's been sitting here patiently in the room listening to Roger talk. I'll be back in about 3-4 minutes.